Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast from WNYC, made on Varick Street.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and apparently, I owe all of you an apology. Audience research done by this country's largest radio broadcaster, Clear Channel, shows that what you folks want to hear is what you already know. Familiar songs played frequently. The research also shows that when a radio station plays an unfamiliar song, there's an immediate drop in audience size. So, I'm sorry. We've obviously been going about this all wrong. Because even though you can hear all these songs almost everywhere else, you just haven't heard enough of them here. Say what you want to say, and let the words fall out. Honestly, I want to see you be brave. What you want to say, and let the words... I know you want it. Hey, I know you want it. You're a good girl. Can't let it get past me. Hey, but far from plastic. Oh, talking about getting blasted. Hey, everybody get up. Now, the next step in building the size of our audience is to play all those songs again, and again and again. In fact, we're supposed to play them twice as much as hits used to get played on the radio, which I always thought was too much to begin with, but hey, this is research, and we'll get the full story behind it later in the show. Now, I know the research warns that this is the sort of move that could wreck the whole thing, but our live music today comes from an English band you may not already know. But they have a gold record and millions of YouTube views, so we'll introduce you to London Grammar and see what happens. Guess that means I better replay one of those hits first. She's up all night to the sun. I'm up all night to get some. She's up all night for good fun. I'm up all night to get lucky. Actually, the hell with ratings. We have a better reason for playing this song by the French duo Daft Punk again. This single, Get Lucky, is up for Record of the Year in the Grammys. Now, since 1998, Daft Punk has been nominated 13 times. And 5 years ago, they won the Grammys for Best Dance Recording and Best Electronic Dance Album. But this year, Daft Punk has managed to break into what's known as the Big Four categories. And they are the first group ever to be nominated for both Best Dance Electronica Album and Album of the Year. Some people find this to be an unbelievably exciting development. And by some people, I mostly mean Chris Weingarten, contributing editor to Rolling Stone. He's here to tell us why. Chris!
Hey there!
Why? Why is this important?
Well, you know, the Grammys have had a long and very rocky history with electronic music, dating back to 1980 when they fumbled with starting a Best Disco Recording category, and every year they manage to stumble a little bit and make it look a little bit uncomfortable. And meanwhile, this is probably the dominant youth culture for the last couple years at this point. And, you know, this is the year it's finally getting its due in the big categories.
Although Daft Punk, who have been standard bearers for electronic dance music for many, many years, this record is pretty much not electronic for the most part.
That is true. I mean, there's live drums all over it. And, you know, it really is kind of like almost working as like an ambassador to this world of like, okay, we've got, you know, Pharrell, you know, Nile Rodgers, you know, these people.
So Daft Punk with Random Access Memories, does their nomination in one of the so-called Big Four categories does that signal some kind of effort on the part of the Academy to acknowledge that electronic dance music actually is, as you say, the dominant youth culture of our time?
They've been trying for the last couple of years and stumbling. 2 years ago, they wanted to put EDM on the show, a performance on the show. And this is, you know, something that works in a live setting. It's really hard to put on television. It's a dude twiddling knobs sometimes. It's a
So they had DeadMau5.
They had DeadMau5 and they had David Guetta, and they teamed them with you know, Chris Brown and the Foo Fighters, and it was kind of a mashup and a fake rave going on, and
the reviews were pretty uniformly what?
Yeah, it was a little confusing. You know, the Academy is not alone in trying to be like, look, you know, electronic music, it's just like rock music. You know, it's the same thing. It's just loud and kids are excited about it. And the attempt to kind of rope Foo Fighters into that, you know, it just was not the seamless blend that a DJ like DeadMau5 or David Guetta would prefer.
Right. So last year, Skrillex was nominated for Best New Artist.
That's correct.
Did not get it. But he did pick up several dance awards over the past couple of years. He's, you know, his shelf is pretty littered with Grammys at this point, none of which we have ever seen on the telecast.
That is correct. And it's reminiscent of the 1988 Rap Grammy, 1989 Rap Grammy, where they didn't air it on TV at all, and they protested it, and they said, we're not going to show up to the Grammys. Like, you know, this is culture right now. This is what's happening.
And Skrillex picked up three more Grammys last year, including Best Dance Recording and Best Dance / Electronica Album for his EP called Bangarang. Here's a little bit of that. Bit of music from multiple Grammy winner Skrillex, the title track from his EP Bangarang, which won a couple of Grammys for Skrillex last year. We're talking with Chris Weingarten, contributing editor for Rolling Stone, who, along with Julianne Escobedo Shepherd, has written an article in Rolling Stone about the Grammys' long and complicated and at times hilariously awkward relationship with electronic dance music, or EDM. You can read that article at soundcheck.org. And Chris, we started by talking about Daft Punk, standard bearers for EDM for so many years, Random Access Memories, their album up for many awards this year. Less electronic than in the past, but it is still definitely dance music.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And dance music has been a kind of a bugaboo for the Grammys for so long. I mean, you alluded to this before, but let's go back to disco.
Yes. By the time the Grammys caught up with disco enough to award it its own category, which it should have had, you know, for years, it was the 1980 awards. And to think about disco in 1980, like, you know, Julianne pointed out, this is 8 years after Love Train by the OJs, you know, top Billboard. Disco Duck was 3 years ago. Saturday Night Fever was 2 years ago.
So disco is on the way out.
Disco
and this
was
is when
well
the Academy,
on the way out.
This is when the Academy decides to introduce Best Disco Album.
Yes. And, you know, definitely not going to hate on Gloria Gaynor taking home a trophy. Like, not, I mean, that's awesome. But if it lasted one more year, like, what do you even give it to at that point? Like, what were the awesome disco songs of 1980? You know, like, Celebration by Kool and the Gang, or, like, I guess the SOS band. But, like, this stuff was so turning into funk.
Well, 1980, Gloria Gaynor won the first and last and only award for Best Disco Recording at the Grammys. Weren't you the one who tried to hurt me with goodbye? You think I grumbled? Gloria Gaynor and I Will Survive. And as Chris Weingarten said a moment ago, you can't argue with giving her a Grammy for that song.
Absolutely not. Where's the drop?
Right. Where's my dubstep drop, the bass drop? The one and only winner of the Best Disco Recording Grammy. The only time it was given was in the year 1980. Now, Chris.
Yes.
You know, the Academy moves slowly.
That is,
so
yes.
Disco had been around for a few years, and maybe it was on the wane, but give them some credit for, at some point, creating a category for it. My favorite part of the story, though, is they drop it after one year, and for the next 18 years,
yep,
there is no dance music category in
no,
the Grammys.
No, there is not.
And this is a time when dance music trends, especially in the 90s, it's like every month there's a new flavor of dance music.
Yeah, it was the period of the most advancement and innovation, and, you know, so many different areas of the world were just coming up with these things that would change music forever. You know, Chicago house, Detroit techno, Miami bass, and we don't recognize this until 1998, which is after
every single style you just mentioned
yeah,
had been around for, you know,
forever,
in some cases a decade or more.
Yeah. And then there's this narrative of, well, what's the next Nirvana? Oh, it's going to be DJs of the new rock stars and the Prodigy and Chemical Brothers. And this narrative was pushed by everyone, from MTV to Spin to, and it became too big to ignore.
But they somehow managed in 98 to ignore the Chemical Brothers and Prodigy.
That is correct.
So when they finally did institute a best dance recording category.
Yeah, this is the best.
Who's in it?
It is Donna Summer and Giorgio Moroder, who should have won the dance Grammy in 1978.
Right. So 20 years later,
they get this kind of this like pity trophy for something that, you know, it's something that they invented 20 years ago and deserved a Nobel Prize for what they did 20 years ago, you know?
Did they deserve the Grammy for their song Carry On?
No, they did not.
Donna Summer, the late Donna Summer, and Giorgio Moroder with their 1998 Grammy-winning song, Carry On. 1998 is when the Academy finally decided to reinstitute some sort of dance category, and this one in the category of Best Dance Recording. Chris Weingarten, contributing editor at Rolling Stone, talking with us on Soundcheck today about this weird pas de deux that the Grammys have done with electronic dance music over the years. So who else, when they won this award, Giorgio Moroder, Donna Summer, who had they beaten? Who else was up for it?
Well, they beat Daft Punk, which is, you know, that was a fine year to give Daft Punk an award. They beat the Pet Shop Boys and Quad City DJs doing the theme to Space Jam, which is like, you know, I don't even remember that song, but I can't imagine it being better than the Monstars anthem on the Space Jam soundtrack. So it's like, I imagine it's not even the best song on the Space Jam soundtrack.
So why is this? Why has this continued to be such a problem? Is it down to who the voters are?
I think it is. And, you know, dance music is something that moves so rapidly and the advances come so quickly, especially now in the age of the internet. Like, you know, dudes like Skrillex and, you know, Avicii or whatever, like, they don't even depend on records as much. Like, they can build a following from playing live.
Right. And there are huge swaths of the modern American population who have no idea who Skrillex and Avicii are.
Absolutely.
And yet, you know, these guys are making six figures a night.
Absolutely. You know, it's the hugest thing, but it's not playing with the same rules that the Recording Academy plays with.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, they're not out dropping 12-inch singles and dropping lyric videos all the time. Like, this, they just go out and they tour.
So the Grammy categories for electronic, over the years it's changed from dance electronica to dance electronic to whatever. These categories have grown more and more pop because that's what the voters know.
Yeah, but also EDM became our pop music for a while. Like, it sort of informed how pop music sounds. You know?
Well, let's talk about one of them in particular. The best dance recording in 2011, the winner of the Grammy, was Rihanna.
Yes.
For Only Girl in the World. Now, you know, in your article, you and your co-author, Julianne Escobedo Shepherd, you sort of take issue with the fact that, you know, Rihanna didn't belong in this category because she was a pop star. But if you listen to this song, it's clearly a dance song.
It's a dance song, but, you know, you too made a dance record. It doesn't make it the best dance record.
Why not? What if you two did in fact make the best dance record of that year?
You've stumped me this time.
Can I just say that getting Chris Weingarten to stop talking, that's the best part of my day. Let's hear the song from Rihanna. It's called Only Girl in the World. Rihanna's song Only Girl in the World was the winner of the 2011 Grammy Award in the category Best Dance Recording. Chris Weingarten with us on Soundcheck. So some of the other recent winners in this category, Best Electronic Dance Album in 2007 went to Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
Best Dance Recording in 2010 went to Lady Gaga.
Mm-hmm.
So again, names that you might find in the so-called Big Four categories. Let's talk about this year's dance category nominees. There's Best Dance Recording, which is for a song, and Best Dance / Electronica Album. Who do you like in each of these categories?
Oh, man. Well, you know, best dance. The good thing about this year's categories, you know, they do lean pop, but it is pop on the DJ's terms. Like, this is Calvin Harris featuring Florence Welch. This
okay.
is Zedd featuring Foxes. You know, these are dance so artists.
The actual producer slash DJs are getting the nominations.
The credits.
Okay.
I would say for best dance recording, the Duke Dumont song, Need You 100%, is the best song out of that bunch. You gotta give me everything, baby, and no doubt. Give me 100, need you
100%. But do you think it'll win?
Oh, absolutely not.
Oh, what do you think?
Oh,
do you think
no.
Win?
No, that one's going to Calvin Harris because he's got A, the most recognizable name, and B, Florence Welch is also a recognizable name and sort of a olive leaf to the rock and pop communities.
And then in Best Dance Electronica Album?
There is no way that's not going to Daft Punk. There is no way. And as much as I'd love to see it go to, you know, someone like Disclosure, who've got a huge, huge critical push in the last year. Mm-hmm. There's no
British band.
Yeah, there is no way that's not going to Daft Punk.
All right, so how do you think Daft Punk looks in the two big categories that they're nominated for? Record of the Year for their single Get Lucky, which features Pharrell Williams and Nile Rodgers, and Album of the Year, where Random Access Memories, their CD, is nominated. How do you handicap them in those two races?
I don't see them. I definitely don't see them getting Album of the Year. Album of the Year for the last 3 years has been kind of mired in this fake idea of authenticity.
Uh-huh.
Whether it's like, you know, Mumford & Sons are getting their rootsy banjo mason jar mandolin on, you know, down by the swamp. And you know, oh, Adele, she can really sing, you know. She can really sing.
She can really sing.
I know, but like, is that what makes a good record? You know,
it helps.
It certainly helps. But, you know, to put that above other pop music because it uses auto-tune or, you know, it's scary. It's silly. It's and then Arcade Fire also with the like, oh, there's a million people on stage and they're crazy and they play instruments. It's awesome. This is the category that gave the Oh Brother soundtrack an award. Like, it's mired in this idea of...
Man, don't you talk smack about
Oh, I
Oh
love
Brother.
The Oh Brother soundtrack, but I'm
All
saying,
right.
you
okay.
know, it's mired in this false idea that authenticity trumps all. So, you know...
So who's going to get it if it doesn't go to Daft Punk?
Well, Macklemore and Kendrick are going to split the rap vote.
Yeah.
You know, there's you know, with two rap albums in the category, it's not a chance. It's either going to go to Sarah Bareilles, who plays piano, and or... Taylor Swift, who's incredibly famous and has gotten this award before.
Right. And is popular with the voters.
And is popular with the voters. And that album's awesome.
Get Lucky, you know, features Nile Rodgers of Chic, who should have had a Grammy 35 years ago. But you don't think that's going to be enough pull for the voters.
The thing with the Record of the Year category, you have three of the most ubiquitous songs of the year. You've got Get Lucky, you've got Royals, you've got Blurred Lines. So this can go any way. I have no idea where this is going to go.
You can read Chris Weingarten and Julianne Escobedo Shepherd's Rolling Stone piece on EDM and the Grammys on our website at soundcheck.org. Chris, good to see you.
Great to see you. But every song's like gold teeth, gray goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains,
ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. If you love the Soundcheck podcast, consider showing your support with a one-time donation or become a monthly sustainer. Go to soundcheck.org and click on support. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck. We are caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royal.